We are going to be in the book of 1 John, chapter 5 this morning, beginning of verse 9. If you'd like, though, also turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1, and verse 18. So you kind of can put a bookmark in 1 John and then look back over to Romans, chapter 1. Have you ever tried to... You right there?
You can turn it off, so I forgot to do it for you.
Okay. Trying to set up a booby trap and trip me. The worst part is no one would feel bad. That you would all be very happy if it happened. Well, have you ever tried to convince somebody that God exists? Or tried to convince somebody that Christianity is true? Times in witnessing, it can become frustrating sometimes because what is so clear to you may not be so clear to somebody else, and you think, why is it that you don't see it? Why is it that you don't believe that God exists? In Romans chapter 1, in verse 18, it gives us a little bit of insight as far as what people really do believe. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." And so we see a picture here of God's wrath being poured out on all ungodliness, unrighteousness, on men who suppress the truth. They push down the truth. "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their flesh to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." And so we read this passage, and it gives us an incredible amount of insight into what people really believe. It tells us that if someone says, "I don't believe that God exists," that what God tells us is, no, they're suppressing the truth. I've made myself clearly known from the very beginning of creation, even his invisible attributes, his eternal power, the Godhead. They're without excuse. God says, I've revealed myself to them in such a way. Now we look and we still think, though, of people who will still maintain, "No, I don't believe in God." And you maybe fell into that category at one point as well. There may be times where you even question. You say, "How do I know? I mean, I follow Christ. I love him. I worship him. I come to church. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He is the center of all that I do. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe in his death and his resurrection, that my sins were placed upon him. But how can I know with absolute certainty that these things are true? How do I know for sure?" And I can go from an intellectual perspective and say, okay, well, why is it that I believe in God? Well, I look at creation itself, and I look and think, how does someone not believe in a creator? I mean, you think of DNA, and you look at the structure that is there and this genetic programming that is a unique fingerprint on every person, and you look and you think, and you cut yourself and it reproduces itself and heals you. You have children and you can see a mark from the father and a mark from the mother, and you can see a little bit of both of them in that child. You look and you think of the details of every aspect of DNA going down the chart and looking at it and saying, it's amazing. You can look at creation as far as the heavens and be amazed at the billions of stars. Looking and looking at the earth and being amazed at how it's just incredible, and the detail that is there. You go to the zoo and you look at animals, and there's just an incredible array of different kinds of animals, from zebra, just unique. Every zebra is like a fingerprint, in the sense that there's no zebra that has the exact same stripes as another one. You look and you see the elephants and how unique they are, and how they drink water, and how they eat, and all that they do, and the power that is there within them. And then you look and you see, you know, little turtles, or you go and you see a little panda bear, and you look and you see just this incredible variety of animals and this uniqueness to each one of them, and you can see God's hand on it, creation. You go and you think of how, you know, we live in a place where the wind blows and it blows clouds over the land, and it cools in such a way that rain falls. Not all that much here in California, but in other places, it's just enough to be able to make it so that plants live. And in each climate, it's such that there's water to drink. You can go all around the world and find different places and see that we serve a God who's created everything. You look at the human body and the way that our eyes work, and they see little reflections, and it comes back, and it goes through our minds, and we have these pictures that are in our minds. You look and you say, I believe that God exists. There's a creator. We can look and see how, well, there's, no matter what country you go to, there's morals. Wherever you go, people don't like it if you beat them up. They don't like it if you hurt a family member or if you kill somebody. It's frowned upon no matter where you go. If you lie, it's frowned upon no matter where you go. No matter where you go, if you steal something from somebody, they're upset about it. No matter where you go, you'll see people who don't like the pride of somebody. You hear people talk about, oh, it's like he's a bad man. Why is it that I can go to almost any country and there's someone, oh, that, not a good man. This person, you know, he does drugs. I mean, being in the bush of Sudan and oh, these kids, they're inhaling things. They've gone crazy. It's bad. It doesn't matter where we go, you see that there's morals that are there. And some would argue, how could that happen unless there's a God? You look and I think of, how did it all come about? For me, just thinking about the existence of God, I think of the fact that every motion is caused by a previous motion, and this process ultimately requires an unmoved mover. It has to happen. I mean, if you think of creation, why is there something rather than nothing? How come there's something that exists? Logically, you come back and there has to be something that started it. You've heard that there's every cause that, or every effect has a cause. Something caused something else. And ultimately, we require an uncaused cause or a first cause. Not everything can be contingent upon something else. There has to be something that exists necessarily. Think of the evolutionists. Why is it that there's a universe that's here? Well, there was a big bang that took place and an explosion that occurred. Well, what was the first cause of that? What happened? If matter is being destroyed, which we know that it is, energy is being destroyed, matter is being destroyed, if it's eternal, it would have ceased to exist a long time ago. If there was a big bang that occurred and everything's going in an outward direction, what was the first cause that made that happen? Why is it that there's something instead of nothing? And for us as a believer, as Christians, we believe that God's eternal. We believe that he's the uncaused cause, that he's the unmoved mover, that he's the self-existent one, and it's from him that all things come. For the unbeliever, for a philosopher, for a scientist, they only will have partial answers, and there'll never be an ending point or a final answer because they have no answer as far as what's the first cause. Who's the unmoved mover? Who began it all? The only answer ultimately is irrationalism. It doesn't make sense. And so for us as Christians, we could look at it logically and say, I believe that God exists. It looks like there's a creator. It looks like there's intelligent design. It's not hard to look. And you've heard the illustration of if you went to, you know,